Well, today we continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. It is in the book of Galatians where they're describing the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. And so today, as we are framing kindness, I think out of the nine fruit of the Spirit, kindness is one of the ones that is least understood, mostly because it is conflated with being nice, and I don't think that's what kindness is. Being nice is... Audio's weird, we got the ghosts in the system. Being kind is of a much more importance than niceness. Niceness is to a large extent, the surface piece of kindness. It's the surface piece where you just smile and you let someone go by. But there is a wide gulf between being nice and being kind. At St. Andrew a couple years ago, we had a great interim COO named Carolyn Gettridge. She's a remarkable human. She led our staff. And she said one of our problems on staff was that we were what she called Minnesota nice. Now, I don't mean to insult Minnesotans. But that was her phrase to say, you know, that kind of niceness where you say, well, hey, everything's great when it isn't great. Like, that's the niceness, in my view, is where you just sit there and you just say nice things, even if it is not actually what's helpful in the system. You just put a smile on your face, don't say anything rude, and hope to get on with your day. That is actually unkind. AA has a phrase that says, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. Now, to be fair, there's a lot of nice things that are unclear. But kindness is a whole other level of actually living out and being God, frankly, to one another. In the first week of this, we talked about love, and one of my favorite words in Hebrew is chesed, which means loving kindness. This is the other half of it. True love and kindness are actually paired together because being kind requires for us to communicate hard things to one another. If you're married, you have to struggle through hard things. How are you going to raise your kids? Where are you going to spend Thanksgiving? Where are you going to spend Christmas? When you have adult kids, how are you going to handle who they date? These are not simple things, right? You've got to actually have hard conversations in order to be truly kind to your spouse. Just being nice and letting stuff go on forever is not actually kindness in the way that God has described it to us. Have you ever read the scriptures? Jesus isn't actually all that nice. I mean, he says some pretty hard things. He calls the Pharisees fools and vipers. Like, if we're going to sit here and say, well, niceness is a value, I'm going to tell you, you ain't following Jesus. Kindness, on the other hand, is when people are headed on a bad pathway, you worked for their salvation, you work for their return, you actually are kind in a way that allows for true challenge and repentance. I think about a lot of this in terms of coaching and watching college football. I'm going to be kind and not talk about football much today. And yet, when you look at a coach, kindness is actually telling a kid, hey, you missed the block. Kindness is one person telling another, hey, have my back. Hey, we didn't quite do this right. It is kind to have clear communication that allows for each one to get better. And the reason why kindness is elevated to a fruit of the Spirit in Scripture is because that level of kindness is supposed to be for others and not just for those who we like. The word kind actually comes from the word kin, which means family. And the point of God entering into human flesh as a Jew and inviting Gentiles in is to create a new family. People that you may not even like are now invited to be baptized and part of your family. You're supposed to treat your enemy like you treat your family. Now, frankly, I know how some of y'all treat your family and it ain't kind. So we're just going to be, like, here's, as you should treat your family, I think is the way we're supposed to frame this, right? We all know people for whom they're not kind to their kids or their spouse or their parents. just repent and move on. Now, like, we know what we're supposed to do, just do it. Okay, so this is what in Scripture it says we're supposed to do to our enemies. This is actually one of those where it's like, Jesus is hard to follow, but kind, because this way leads to life. Here's what he says in Luke in the sixth chapter, one of his major speeches in the book of Luke. But he says, to those of you listening, who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. The way I distinguish in my own mind the difference between just being nice and being kind in the scriptural way is that nice often can just be weak, right? You're just nice just because it's easier to get along, to go along, to get along. I'm not dismissing niceness, but man, I think there's an elevated status. Because kindness is actually a place of strength where you begin to realize who you're made to be, where you realize that even though you could do something different, you're choosing not to. So let's just say, hypothetically, you got a kid in flag football. Hypothetically, six-year-olds, you know. And hypothetically, in this game, you go and you see a coach of a different team yelling at children. Hypothetically, of course. Because it never happens, right? Never. The question, is that strength or weakness? It's weakness. It's pretty clear. When you see a husband yelling at their wife, unkind, is that strength or weakness? It's weakness. When you see people where evil has been done to them, and they pass it along to somebody else, is that strength or weakness? That's weakness. It's pretty clear. On the other hand, when you see someone in a position of authority, a position of power, show kindness, it's not being soft, it's actually being strong. When, let's just say, on your team, you've got a coach who's kind, and when you've got the kids on the bench, he kneels down and he looks the kids in the eyes and he says, hey kiddos, how you feeling about the game? Yeah, we missed some stuff, didn't we? Huh? Oh, I know. Doesn't matter what the other team said, does it? What matters is how you operate. Is that strength or weakness? Philippians 2, have the same mindset that was in Christ Jesus, who though he had all the power of God, gave it up, did not exploit it, but emptied himself and became low, became nothing, even to the point of obedience of death on a cross. Therefore, so that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is kindness. For the record, this is also the posture of Christmas. The God who made the world entered human flesh and became nothing. Became nothing. Kindness is actually about having the power to do other and choosing to love anyway. You know that piece in Scripture where it says that the sins of the Father will be passed down for generation to generation? You may not know that, but it exists. It's in Scripture. It's in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean that God is sitting up in heaven looking and going, well, your dad stunk, so zap. That's not what it is, okay? Well, your dad was evil, so there you go, buddy. That's not what God's doing. At any point, God actually weeps for his children. He loves his children. He cares for his children. The reality is what often happens is that we pass on the evil from others onto us, and we pass it down to someone else. Have you ever seen the old comic where you've got, you know, the boss yells at the employee who yells at his employee who goes home and yells at his wife who yells at the kid? The cascading of evil. Kindness is choosing to say, let the evil that was done with me stop with me. I'm going to say that again. Kindness is about letting the evil that was done to me stop with me. There's a book we published with Invite, so just pause for a second just to give a little context. In COVID, right actually the week COVID hit, St. Andrew launched a publishing house to publish kind of high on Jesus, low on politics books to help people live more like Jesus. We've published about 60 books. We have about 60 books that are on the pathway. I'm really excited about some of them. Our spring series for Lent is going to be based on one of those books on the parables, and it's really cool. One of the things that we've realized is we've not given back to you all kind of the benefit of some of the really cool books that we've published. And so starting tomorrow in the This Week at St. Andrew emails, which if, by the way, we have emails that go out Monday called This Week at St. Andrew. They have all the information you need to figure out what's happening here and who's preaching that Sunday. And some of y'all call me and go, hey, you didn't tell us about this. And in kindness, not niceness, I'm going to say, read your emails, please, okay? Just read your emails before you, like, just, there's a lot of information. Anyway, fine, whatever. See, it's kind to tell you, hey, we have a way for you to do that. Anyway, at the bottom of those starting tomorrow, you're going to get a free chapter from one of the books that our publishing house has published that's related to the sermon. Tomorrow you're going to get a chapter on a really cool book called The Secret Power of Kindness. It's written by a book by the guy by the name of Greg Atkinson. You'll get one every week in the Monday email, the free chapter. I recommend you click on it every week. They're going to be people I trust that we know and that really good content that's going to allow for you to hear some other voices to help you live more like Jesus. So I'm excited about that. This book, The Secret Power of Kindness, is a surprising book. If you see it, and they've got it out in the narthex, but if they see it, if you see it, it looks very light. Like you're like, oh, The Secret Power of Kindness. Well, this is going to be an easy read. I'm here to tell you, it starts actually with some of the evil that's been done to him. It's a very like bright yellow-colored book that looks all happy and joy-filled and post-it notey. But you know as well as I do that the world ain't kind, is it? I mean, we're trying to craft a community that's kind in a world that isn't. Whether it's hurricane or news or ads on TV. I mean, I'm struggling figuring out how to watch TV with my kids these days because I'm trying to craft a community of kindness for my kids. They need to know there's unkindness in the world, but how do we craft a different community in my house or in this church? Truly, it's a harder question than it seems. And The Secret Power of Kindness, Greg talks about the evils that were done to him and how kindness and that framing and the way that Scripture talks about it is a way to end it to you. The way to end the pain that was done so that your kindness stops the evil that was done to you. Listen, I know a number of stories in this room, and the stories I don't know outnumber those by a lot. And I know that for most of you, there is something in your life where someone has done evil to you. I mean, there are people who come to me and they're about to get married and they say, I don't want the kind of marriage that my parents had. I don't want my kids to grow up knowing that. People who come and say, listen, my dad or my mom or this teacher, they did evil to me. And the secret power of kindness is to say that you and I, by the grace of God, can get through that. can actually repent, not that we did something wrong to deserve that, but rather we can repent of the ways in which we have let that evil come into our lives and cascade over into others and say, Lord, would you heal me? The number of people for whom alcoholism is in their family, abuse is in their family, stories that would just make your blood curdle, and you and I, by the grace of God, are called to live lives where the kindness comes out even though evil comes in. Even though evil was done to us, that our job is to, by the grace of God, recognize that God is actually doing unbelievable work through us. And the way I know it is the cross, is that when Jesus was on the day in which he died, he offers kindness and mercy even when he didn't have to. Here's Luke describing his death. He says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Is that strength or weakness, friends? It's the kind of strength that allows for us to say, may we be different. May we have a different pathway. I think, as Greg would say in his book, and as I've experienced in my life, those places where someone has done evil to you, or where the world has just treated you wrong, or just by accident things have not gone well, are the places that God actually can use to show kindness to others. Whether it's for me and my wife, our infertility journey has provided us a means by which we can connect with a whole group of other people. And we've used our pain not to pass along that pain, but to be able to walk alongside others and says, I know. I told this story a lot, but it bears repeating on a day like today. Part of the reason, actually a large part of the reason I'm still a pastor at St. Andrew's because of the kindness that was shown to me by Robert Hasley, our founding pastor. I had to make a phone call to him telling him that I still wanted the job at St. Andrew, but that my wife was going to not come with me, and I couldn't solve that. And his response was just kindness. He said, Arthur, don't worry. We're going to give you a place to heal. We're going to give you a place to heal, and this doesn't change a bit how much we're going to love you. I didn't know that he'd been through that pain too. But you see, when you are able to heal and then show kindness to others out of your brokenness, this is what it means to be a Christian. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm broken, you're broken. We go out into a world not sitting there like the preachers on the side saying, y'all are going to hell, but rather saying, I've been through hell, y'all want to get out of it with me? I've been through hell. Don't you want a different pattern? I've been through hell. Don't you want a different way of living in our world? The pressure that I feel so often is to join the fight rather than to show the healing, is to join the pain rather than show what God has done in my life and to testify, Lord, I am a broken sinner. This is the privilege of it means to be kind, is to recognize that God died for me while I was yet a sinner. It proves God's love for us, his kindness to me, even though I am broken, and allows for me the opportunity to show it to others. A couple weeks ago, Becky and I went and we did a Q&A session with the Methodist women, one of their circles. I think it was Rachel's circle. And we gathered together and they asked us questions. And they asked Becky, what's it like being Arthur's wife? And they particularly wanted to know, how do you even think about raising kids? Like, how do you think about kind of that reality? And what do you pray for? And she said, I pray that our kids will remember St. Andrew as a kind place. Have you ever had a kid sit in church near you and kind of fuss a little bit? Are you kind, or do you give the parent rude looks? It's much better to say, hey, we've all been there, right? When a kid runs past you down the bridge and runs, do you sit there and go, couldn't they behave better? Where's their parent? Or do you say, thank God that there are these little legs that are in this place? Because when our kids go out into the world, they're going to find an unkind place. And how they think of Jesus in the church is going to be determined by small comments in the hallways of this place, by small comments that are made. And the question is, are we going to be kind to those for whom they can do nothing for us? This is a passage on kindness that isn't often preached about when it comes to kindness. Matthew 19, then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. In a world that is unkind, where evil has been done to us, and there's no one in this room who has escaped brokenness or evil or difficulty, the very simple question is this: can you give your burdens and your pain and the evil that has been done to you to Jesus, so that you can be Jesus to other people, to where the hurt that was done with you stops with you, and where the kindness that was done to you overflows aplenty? Let us pray. Gracious God, as we close today, I know there are people in this room for whom they have a face in mind of someone that's done evil. Some know that they were that face to others. And we all come to you broken, God. God, forgive us when we are merely nice and you've called us to be kind, where you've called us to love even our enemies as we love ourselves, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. God, may your spirit be so with us that we demonstrate kindness and the world sees you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.